In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. With this great feast of our Lord's circumcision, whereby Mary and Joseph fulfill the Mosaic law, the octave of the Christmas season comes to its conclusion. In her great wisdom and her great solicitude, Holy Mother Church has given us these days precisely because the mystery of the Incarnation does not lend itself to 1 or 2 days of meditation and contemplation. And in truth, as the exhortation from Titus makes very clear, this is a life's pursuit, living out the life that we have been called to by virtue of the mystery of the Incarnation. We are called to live temperately, justly, and piously in this world because Christ came to redeem us. And that act of redemption that reconciled us with the Father and set us on the perfect path to a life of holiness has set us free from iniquity and has indeed cleansed us in order that we can speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the reason we exist, to speak Christ, to exhort others in Christ. And the first step in this speaking and in this exhortation is to make sure that our own lives conform to the Lord. This is a good project upon which to expend our energies and to give our focus in this chronological year that has been provided to us, to make sure that everything about who we are is conformed to the mystery of the Lord. And because this requires so much energy, so much work, indeed, everything else that might seemingly be important must take a back seat to life in Christ. But the mystery of the Incarnation also reveals to us that indeed it is possible for us in the flesh to cooperate with the graces and the blessings that the Lord bestows upon us. To our own devices, by our own will, no, this is not possible. But with and through the power of our Lord, who took flesh to reveal to us the ability of the flesh to do what it is called to do, we, like our Lord, we, like our Lady, like all the holy men and women who have gone before us, can live rightly in the sight of God. But again, it requires our cooperation. And our cooperation must be deliberate and intentional. It cannot be haphazard or infrequent. Every day, every moment of every day, attentive to striving to live out this holiness, this piety, this temperance, and this justice. In other aspects or other places in sacred scripture, St. Paul will give us other lists of virtues that we need to embody and embrace. But the whole life of virtue is set before us as that to which we strive to attain, and that same reality that helps us attain the very things for which we search and the very things for which we seek. And as she has been on this particular day as well, Our Lady is there as exemplar, but also as our aid, our mother, to guide, support, and to sustain us. We must have constant recourse to her. And again, as we strive for holiness and virtue deliberately and intentionally, so too must our relationship with Our Lady be deliberate and intentional. The praying of your rosary on a daily basis, both individually and collectively as a family, calling out to her, reading about her, studying her, seeking to live her life in every moment of your own life. Who better to teach and instruct us how we are to follow the Lord and live out deeply the mystery of the Incarnation than Our Lady, who receives the good news first and then corresponds every aspect of her existence to that which has been given to her and that which has been proclaimed to her. These are days of rejoicing, and they always need to be, because regardless of the world in which we live, and regardless of the things with which you might struggle, whether they be on a macro or micro scale, whether they be those things that the Holy Mother Church struggles with or our own individual struggles and temptations, what always remains true and steadfast and available to us is our relationship with God and the manifold graces that God continues to bestow upon us. The reality of the Incarnation is that now we have set before us the fullness of God's love for us and the fullness of grace given out to us, grace poured out upon grace. This is a wellspring to which we can return again and again, a wellspring that will never dry up. If grace is ineffective, it is not because God's grace is not able to transform. It is our failure to cooperate with that grace in our daily lives and to make sure that our souls are well prepared to receive the very graces God desires to bestow upon us. The whole Christian dispensation in our lives as Catholic men and women must be a serious, deliberate, intentional, steadfast, and constant undertaking. If at any moment we waver or falter, we will indeed fail. Not because God wants that for us, and not because God has designed that for us, but because we have chosen our own wills in our own way instead of following after the Lord. The Lord will certainly reward us, not only in the successes of cooperating with graces, but even in the striving when at times we might fail. But then call upon the Lord, ask for forgiveness, allow Him to pick us up and set us on the path to righteousness again and again. God is always there for us, brothers and sisters. We must have faith in this and allow that to be our motivation to conform every aspect of ourselves to Him. Apart from God, we literally can do nothing. It is that simple. And all the good that we might strive to do, all the natural good that may transpire, will eventually wear itself out. Goodness must be rooted in Christ. But He has come to us precisely so that this can indeed happen in our daily lives. Continue to contemplate how great a gift we have been given, that the Lord has chosen to make His dwelling among us. He's continued to make His dwelling among us by the gift of the Most Holy Eucharist. But resolve now to put into practice and live out in your daily life the graces that God, our Savior, has given to us. Put aside sin and lust. Live temperately, justly, and piously. Speak and exhort in Christ and in Him alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.